we are the super nerdy Sailor Guardians who fight for love and justice. And this is Across the Mooniverse. Hello, and welcome to Across the Mooniverse. My name's Maddie.
And I'm Mike. And this is Across the Mooniverse. This is the podcast where we talk about the original Sailor Moon anime. And today we're going to talk about Season 1, Episode 19, Usagi's Joy, a love letter from Tuxedo Mask.
It's like this episode was made for me.
So where to begin?
Where to begin, indeed. I'd like to begin. In the opening credits.
Okay.
And that's to point out that something that ever since you brought up the carved dirigible, I pay so much more attention to the opening credits in a way that I never have before. Mm-hmm. And this time I was watching and I noticed that Queen Beryl, when she shows up in the opening credits, she's got some amazing nails. Like, she could cut throats with those.
Yeah, she does.
It's so good.
Seriously. They're not Guinness Book nails. They're not all curled around in swirls, but those are some serious nails. Another thing I noticed in the opening credits is when the girls come twirling around, originally Sailor Mercury and Sailor Mars were in silhouette, then mm-hmm. there was no reveal, but they all have capes. The girls all have capes, and the Sailor Guardians do not have capes. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, why do they have capes in the intro credits?
The original design of Sailor Moon actually does have a cape.
Really?
Yes.
Is it red?
It is. It's like blue on the outside, red on the inside, if I'm not mistaken. And her hair was also like white. It was like silver white.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Instead of
a yellow blonde?
Yeah. I have a little, what are those called? A little figurine of it. I cannot remember what they're called, though. Not a pop doll, but adjacent.
Of the prototype Sailor Moon?
Yeah. That's why I have like four copies of the first volume of the manga, because new versions come out and then I'm like, oh, I want to get this one. Oh, I want to get this one. But I have my fourth copy I got specifically because it came with a limited edition Q-Posket. That's what they're called. A limited edition Q-Posket, like little one of Sailor Moon in her original outfit. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have another volume one.
You know what? That marketing is targeted you. And so that's successful marketing. Very good.
Yeah.
On the part of the people doing marketing. They know how to get people to continue to buy the same thing over and over again. That's wonderful.
I'm going to
talk about the bumper
teaser.
In this one, go ahead.
You have to look at it from the perspective of
someone
who watched this show in the 90s and like fundamental early life, because trying to find Sailor Moon merch readily available in that time frame was nigh impossible in the States. Like, it was so landlocked in Japan, and we just would hear about it. And then over the years, it's become more and more accessible to the point where you can like go into a store and there will be Sailor Moon there. And so I cannot resist the urge to gobble it up. It's been instilled in me from the early days. Scarcity.
All right.
Yes, it does.
Latin for prince or little king. Heart of the lion. Nepi calls upon Regulus to show him a weakness to eliminate the Sailor Guardians for good. And at that point, he's shown visions. First vision is Usagi turning into a tennis ball.
Yes.
And then Tuxedo Mask hitting Tatsuni in the face. Isn't that the tennis Yoma?
Tatsuni, yes. Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
We see Tuxedo Mask hitting Tatsuni in the face with a rose, and then we see there's an MTA Moon Tiara action. And a fire soul, but no bubble spray. No bubble spray.
No. I mean, it's
poor Sailor Mercury.
It's defensive, you know. You got to use it when you need to, But you don't always need to. And, you know, she's got limited spell slots. You want to make sure that she...
It's an important spell. It's an important...
Yeah. She's support. Support is important.
Right. It's an important spell, but it is. It's like a bard in Final Fantasy. Yeah. She's,
exactly.
Support is important, but it doesn't have the same flash as Fire Soul. You know what I mean?
No. No, exactly.
So then in the visions, we see Tuxedo Mask. In the visions, we see Tuxedo Mask saying, "Till we meet again, Sailor Guardians." And then Usagi swoons and has big hearts for eyes. And she says something like, "My hero," or, you know, "He's so dreamy," depending on if you're
agree.
The sub or the dub. In the dub version, she says, "My hero." And in the subtitled version, she says, "He's so dreamy." And
I mean, both are true.
Says, uh-huh. So she has a weakness for Tuxedo Mask. That's how I'll crush her.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he would say that. he's come up with a game plan. He's going to use love against her. And then at that moment, we see a swirl of pink little pink flower petals. And then all of a sudden, Joyside appears. And he's, "Hello, Nephrite. Queen Beryl would like to have a word with you." And then they're teleported to the Dark Kingdom. And they have this crazy overhead shot of the Dark Kingdom where you see Beryl from overhead, and then it just tracks, and then it tracks over to Nephrite with Zoisite standing behind him. And Beryl says, "Nephrite, I'm told, by Zoisite, I assume, you're having trouble gathering energy for our great ruler. Is this true?" And then Nephrite says, "The universe wasn't built in a day, my queen."
Yeah, that's...
And Beryl...
That's a beautiful line, honestly. And to have the balls to say that to Queen Beryl, especially considering what happened to his predecessor.
I mean, but you know how I feel, because Nephrite has totally been dodging these meetings with Beryl because he's been dropping
very
the
true.
Ball. So,
yeah.
So Beryl comes back at him with, "You'll watch your tongue. Question my orders again or fail to take care of those Sailor Guardians, and you'll soon find yourself right alongside Jadeite in the Eternal Sleep." And Nephrite shudders, and Zoisite says, "A sentence worse than death."
I still honestly don't think it's a sentence worse than death, because, you know, really long nap just sounds so good all the time.
Plus, we already know that they can take him out of it. I mean, we already know that Jadeite was resurrected in order to go on this mission originally, and then they sentenced him to the... So, I mean, they can take him out of the eternal sleep later on. I mean, it's not... How eternal is subjective, I guess.
It's true.
And so then Nephrite kind of pops up his chest, and he's like, "I'm Nephrite, proud member of the Dark Kingdom's Four Kings of Heaven, and I will succeed in my mission." And so now I have to ask you, this is the first time we've heard this Four Kings of Heaven. I knew that he was a general. Mm-hmm. I knew that he and Jadeite were both generals, but this is the first time I've heard that he's a member of the Dark Kingdom's Four Kings of Heaven. What is that, Four Kings of Heaven? I mean, is it another designation in the Dark Kingdom, or what's up?
It is.
Why all of a sudden are we here?
So, yeah, it is the first time that we've mentioned it, or it's been mentioned. Nephrite's actually the first to bring it up. Jadeite never mentions it, despite the fact that Jadeite is also one of the Four Kings of Heaven. He just never comes up with Jadeite. He's too busy thinking about standing in a room by himself collecting energy or something. I don't know. But as far as what the Four Kings of Heaven are, it is, there's a lot to it. And if I were to reveal it now, it would reveal future plot points that I don't want to spoil for you. So, but when it does happen, I have it in my notes here that...
Well, let me ask you this. Is Zoisite... All right.
Yeah. In my notes, it says, we'll cover that when the big reveal happens. So I'm excited for that day. And yes, to answer your question, Zoisite is also technically a part of that, as can be told by the matching outfits.
Okay. So there's yet a fourth king of heaven that we haven't seen yet.
Indeed.
Correct. Okay.
Yes.
Well, and given the fact that there's over 200 episodes in the first season or something, I'm guessing there'll be time for this fourth king of heaven to be revealed, because I don't think Nephrite's long for this earth. I think Nephrite's headed towards the eternal sleep. That's what I think. But nevertheless, Beryl,
we'll see. We'll see is all I'm going to say.
So, okay. All right. So after he makes this, I will succeed in my mission. And he says, he promises Beryl that Sailor Moon will be dealt with and eliminated. And Beryl just says, very well then. And Nephrite says, I'm going to destroy her with her own love. So that's,
I mean,
oh, because I messed up a little bit. So Nephrite says, I'm one of the four kings of heaven, and I will succeed in my mission. I'm going to destroy her with love. And Zoisite says, that's kind of the same story we heard from Jadeite. Exactly. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, so we know, so his game plan is to destroy her with his own love. And then we cut to Usagi's house, and there's a letter poking out of her mailbox. And it's addressed, it's a love letter from Tuxedo Mask.
Hell yeah.
My heart yearns for you. Please come meet me at the MS Mall in Shinjuku tomorrow. Did I say that right? Shinjuku?
Shinjuku, yes.
Shinjuku, okay. And so it made me wonder, why do they have to go out? So I looked it up, and Shinjuku is a half an hour from Juban in real life. And I was like, why does he have to go to a mall in Shinjuku? And it turns out there were no malls in Shinjuku in the 90s. They were all like boutiques and little shops and stuff like that. There was no no big shopping mall. So it's a good plan. It drags her away from her home base.
And, it does. You know what it reminds me of is I used to live in this really small town in Oklahoma when I was growing up. And quite literally, we had to drive 30 minutes to get to the mall, which was in the next biggest town over. So
yeah, that's kind of how, like, it was for me.
It's super relatable.
We had like a really kind of really low rent. It was just above a strip mall. It was technically a mall, but it was really small. To go to the real real shopping mall was about 25 minutes for us too. From where I grew up. So that I can relate, you know. And so it would seem as though Tuxedo Mask had sent her a love letter, and my heart yearns for you, and please come meet me at the mall.
Yeah.
Usagi's over the moon.
Of course. Why wouldn't she be?
No pun intended. But then, of course, Luna the Perpetual Buzzkill is like, why would Tuxedo Mask send you a love letter? And Usagi's like, isn't it obvious? He's in love with me.
Duh.
And then Luna's like, let's say your delusion is true. How does he know that you're Sailor Moon? Which is a good question. And true. Sailor Moon's like, true love knows no secrets. He knows my he knows my secret. And then Luna's like, well, just because Tuxedo Mask is always helping us doesn't mean that we can trust him. Which I never considered that. I always assumed that Tuxedo Mask was in the same organization as whoever Luna is reporting to. Because we know that Luna reports to some kind of HQ via the Sailor V video game. So I just assumed that Tuxedo Mask was part of that organization. But it seems as though, I guess with that statement, it would seem that's not the case. I had never questioned Tuxedo Mask's allegiance before.
One could say that Mamoru Uchiba was not the only mysterious stranger.
All right. So then we cut to the Juban school, and Usagi's like, you're lying. And she's like, no, we all got letters from Tuxedo Mask. And Naru says, it would be so great if it was him.
Has a moment where she like has a flashback or like an overlay of him.
No, I don't think it's a flashback. I think she just says that there might be a quick cut to Mr. Sanjuin. That could be.
Might be. Or maybe it's just so obvious we didn't even we imagined the cut in there because it's just so painfully obvious.
Right, but before this episode, we never had any idea that Naru had a crush on Mr. Sanjuin. That was in the episode where he first reveals himself in the tennis episode. There's no indication that she has a crush on him at that point. So this is the first time. This is the first time we're learning that Naru has a crush on Mr. Sanjui.
Ooh.
Unless I'm mistaken.
I feel like there was subtext, but maybe I just read into it more because I know what happens.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, it wasn't made obvious to the casual viewer like myself, so there you go. Then it cuts to Haruna, the English teacher, is warning the kids to stay away from the MS Ma. And she's like, and since we don't know what kind of person sent this, you know, please stay away from the MS Ma. And then she says to herself, why didn't I get a letter, Mr. Tuxedo Mask? What am I, chopped liver? So yeah. In the dub, she says chopped liver. I forgot to look on the sub if she says chopped liver. That's a very American insult.
What, yeah.
Chopped liver?
I feel I want to say she says something about, like, gosh, I don't remember. But I think she says something slightly different.
So Haruna says, I want you all to stay away from there. And then all the girls raise their hands, like they have a question to ask.
Yeah.
So if your sound was turned off, it would look like Haruna had asked the class a question, and all the girls were raising their hands to answer it, not raising their hands in solidarity. You know, like they're not going to go to the MS Mall. It was just weird. I just thought it was weird that all the girls.
It is weird, and then it's like also very akin to. Like, they're acknowledging that she said something and that they were active listening almost. Like raise your hand.
Right.
They like, I heard it. Yeah. Look at me raising my hand. It's very, I feel I like suppose. It's akin to when you're doing the roster at the beginning of the class, roll call, and you, like, go here and you raise your hand so they know who you are.
Yeah. Whatever. It looked a little weird.
That's fair.
At any rate. So then it cuts to Luna and Ami are talking, and Luna thinks the letters are suspicious, and Ami does too, and they agree that they should go visit Ray.
Yes.
And it's just a real quick little scene, and then we cut to the Game Center Crown, and Mamoru's playing the skill crane, or what did you call it?
The crane game?
Yeah, the crane game.
Yeah. Did you notice who was in the crane game?
No, I didn't.
In the claw machine, as it scans by before we see what's in the claws themselves, you can see a little Sailor Mars plushie, a Sailor V plushie, a Queen Beryl plushie, and a little Kappa, which is like a little turtle creature that has it's Japanese folklore. It's really cool. Anyways, and then as the claw comes by, what's in the claw? Why, that's Tuxedo Mask, my friend. And who's playing the crane game? It's Mamoru. Trying to win himself a little Tuxedo Mask, which I see why. He's beautiful.
Yeah. And he's talking to Motoko, and they're talking about the love letters. And they're kind of like, well, who do you think sent him? What do you think this is? Mamoru's like, what do you think this is? Advertising? And they're just not really sure about it. And then Usagi enters, and she just goes, sigh. She's all downtrodden, and she just sigh. And they're like, what's wrong? And she just goes, sigh. She obviously wants their attention. And Mamoru's like, I get it. All the other girls got a love letter from Tuxedo Mask, and you didn't get one. And she's like, it's just not fair. All this time, Tuxedo Mask has been cheating behind my back, and now he's even sending love letters to other girls. And so that's that scene.
Yeah. And it's. I think what's interesting in that scene is where no one knows who Tuxedo Mask is. So
it's weird.
And I also find it interesting that there's a Queen Beryl in the crane game, because like Sailor Mars and Sailor V and Tuxedo Mask are all visible, like they're visible people who have been around Juban solving, you know, saving the world. Like people acknowledge that that's right, how they get famous. But no one knows who Queen Beryl is. Why is there a plushie of her?
Yeah, as far as we know, we've never seen Queen Beryl in the human world.
No, she's been chilling in her chair for like eons.
Yeah, she's in the Dark Kingdom for sure.
Yeah.
How did she make
doing
it
a hand boogie
into the skill crane game? We don't know
magic.
How she got a plushie, but she did.
Maybe it was jadeite. It was probably jadeite. Let's be honest.
I'll have to rewatch the episode. I didn't catch that. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I love looking at stuff like that. Taking notes on. Yeah. Cool. All right. What's next?
Next is we cut to Ami and Ray hanging out, but Ray is in bed because she is very sick and she has a cold and a fever, and she's really sad because she wants to go on that date with Tuxedo Mask, but she can't because she is so sick. And Ami-chan,
yeah, she's in the dub. She says it stinks, but I can't go, even if it is to see Tuxedo Mask. And then the camera pans over, and we see that Ray got a love letter too.
Yes,
so it wasn't just the Juban Middle School. Yeah,
yeah, it was everyone.
And
Ami vows to help her out, which is significant because Ami-chan is studying to be a doctor, just like her mom.
Was that revealed in the anime, or is that just something you know from the manga?
It is revealed in the anime at some point.
Okay. All right.
I don't feel like it's much of a spoiler.
Then we cut to the MS Mall, and Nephrite's standing there, and he's like leaning over. He's like looking over a courtyard. You know what I mean? He might be on the second or third. He's on an upper floor, and he's looking out. He's looking over the mall area, and he's very pleased with himself and his plan.
Yeah.
He's like, Sailor Moon will be forced to come meet me now, and then all of a sudden we hear a girl's voice, Mr. Sanjuin, and it's Naru.
Naru,
and she says,
also I will say that
you probably don't remember me.
The background music in this scene is divine,
mm-hmm.
So good.
I didn't notice it. In the dub, she says, I'm sure you don't remember me. You probably don't remember me. And Nephrite says, sure, I remember you. Are you shopping? But in the subtitled version, Naru introduces herself as Naru from the tennis team, which I think is better. They should have had that in the dub because it ties it in better. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Why Naru knows Mr. Sanjuin. That's where they know each other from. And anyway, Naru says, this is going to sound weird, but can I ask you something? I was wondering if you were Tuxedo Mask. And Nephrite's like, of course not. Why would you ask that?
He's shook.
And Naru goes, yeah. And then he thinks to himself, does she suspect I'm the one who sent the letters? And then he says, I know it's kind of a strange question, but it would be nice if you were Tuxedo Mask. And Nephrite's like, how does she suspect me? But more importantly, could she be Sailor Moon? And then all of a sudden, Nephrite turns on the charm, and he kind of moves in, gets real close to her, and he's like, so Naru, has anybody ever told you you're the cutest girl in school? I feel drawn to you since the first time we met. Hope you can make it tonight. And in the subtitled version, he doesn't say you're the cutest girl in school. He says you're the sweetest girl in school.
Which is slightly less creepy, but still creepy from coming from a grown man to a middle schooler.
But the important thing that he says is, I hope you can make it tonight.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden, Naru's like, it's got to be him. You know?
Yeah.
And she looks at the love letter, and on the love letter, it says, meet me at the MS Mall tonight. So she's like, it repeats him saying, so Naru, has anybody told you you're the cutest girl in school? She reflects upon his flirtations.
Yeah, and she's crushing hard.
Big time.
To be fair, when I was in middle school, I crushed hard on
right,
people
then we cut,
like that.
We saw
like,
his bedroom.
Middle school feelings are big.
What'd you say?
I said, middle school feelings are big.
That's true. That's very true. So we cut to Usagi's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And Sailor Moon's like, why would Tuxedo Mask send letters to all the girls? I guess there's only one thing to do is to go and ask him.
Obviously. Yeah, of course. Why
all
wouldn't
of a sudden,
I?
We're thrust into a montage. Yeah. We're thrust into a montage about Sailor Moon's rules for going on a date. Rule number one, always have a clean pair of underwear and a clean dress. Rule number two, just the right amount of perfume. Rule number three,
brush your teeth to get rid of stinky breath. And rule number four, just the right shade of lipstick.
I like those rules. They are a little bit different in Japanese. The first rule is exactly the same. It's always wear clean undies and a clean dress. The second one is put on pleasant perfume. Then three is brush your teeth well, just in case. And the four is apply light pink lipstick to get that charming look.
Right. And then Sailor Moon, Usagi fantasizes herself kissing Tuxedo Mask. And she's Ooh. Like, oh, but what if it happened? She's like, what am I thinking? You know, like, but what if it happened? What if it really did? And so then she's all excited to go on her date. And so it cuts to the MS Mall.
Yeah.
Naru's at the outside of the mall, and she leans on it's a roll top door, and mm-hmm. she leans on it, and then it opens up. It rolls up, and mm-hmm. and she enters, and all of a sudden the lights come on, and there's a figure who looks like Tuxedo Mask at the top of the escalator. Of course, it's Nephrite.
But he has a disgraceful purple mask. And that's why he's not Tuxedo Mask, because how dare he? Tuxedo Mask's mask should not be defiled like that. It is clearly white. How could you get the color scheme wrong, my dude?
He's got some grunge hair going on. He's got some long hair. I mean, he's definitely got some 90s grunge era going on with that hair.
Oh, for sure.
At any rate, he says welcome to her or something like that. And she recognizes his voice, and she's like, "You are Mr. Sanjuine." And so he starts coming down the escalator, and he's like, "You recognize my voice?" And she's like, "Sure, I did. You're all I've been able to think about since we talked this afternoon." And then he jumps off the escalator. Enough with this masquerade. I know who you are. And he points at he gives her the index finger right in the sternum. And he's like, "You're Sailor Moon." And she's like, "What?" And she's like, "What are you talking about?" And then Nephrite says, "Well, if you aren't Sailor Moon, why did you come to meet me?" And Naru says, "For love."
I am a captive of love.
She says it. For love. So cute.
Naru.
And then he zaps her in the forehead. And he's starting to draw her energy out.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Usagi, and she's getting a call on her little messaging. What would you call that device? It's just a communications device.
It's like a little communication thing.
Like, where are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a BlackBerry. It's like a BlackBerry.
Yeah. It's like a it's almost like it's like a pager, like, but with FaceTime. Back in the 90s.
There you go. Yeah, pager with FaceTime. Perfect. And Ami and Ray are like, where are you? And she's like, I can't remember. Shinjuku. Is that where?
Shinjuku. Yeah. Shinjuku.
Shinjuku at the MS Mall. And then Ray is like, she went to meet Sailor Moon, or she went to meet Tuxedo Mask on her own. Yeah.
How dare she?
She gets up out of her sick bed. Yeah, she's not too happy about that. And then Usagi rounds the corner and sees Nephrite drawing Naru's energy out of her. And she's like, "Why would Tuxedo Mask do this to her?" And then he's like, "Wait a minute, that guy's a fake."
And then immediately she knows he's a lie. She's like, "Wait a minute, Tuxedo Mask would never. How dare you?" And then just like goes full. Who the hell are you?
Yeah. And then she wastes no time. Moon prison power, make up. And she transforms.
Hell yeah.
And while the transformation sequence takes place, so the full transformation sequence, and then it cuts immediately to Mamoru's walking down the street.
Wait, can I say something first about the transformation sequence? I want to say something about the transformation sequence first. Because this has always bothered me. Forever and always, they transform. They put their hands out. They get nail polished. It's beautiful. It matches their aesthetic. It is immediately covered by gloves. Why?
Well, you gotta wonder. I mean, the gloves could get knocked off. The gloves
That's
could
fair.
Get vaporized. A Yoma could could tear the gloves off, and you want to have good looking nails.
You got to look pretty guardian at all times. I hadn't considered. I'm sorry. Continue. What happens next? Something with Mamoru? Well, that seems important.
I guess the real question is in the transformation sequence, why don't they show them getting nail polish on their toenails?
That's true, because they do show the boots and the shoes.
Yeah, but we don't get to see their naked feet.
No, that's a subreddit. We can't.
All right. Now this is big. This is big news. What's going on here? Mamoru's walking down the street. He's in front of a bookstore. All of a sudden, he takes a knee, and he's like, "Not again, my head!" And then it looks like rainbow spaghetti originates and just like comes out of his head. And then it's a rainbow background with swirling roses, a white outline, and then it flashes to reveal Tuxedo Mask.
Dun, dun, dun.
Spanish guitar and castanets. Dun, dun, dun.
It's
little castanets and the Spanish guitar. I don't know where that came from. Why does he get the Spanish guitar treatment?
I'm not sure, but even though your rendition of it did not sound anything like it, I still knew exactly what it was because it lives in my heart.
The sound of Tuxedo Mask transforming.
Yes. Yeah.
So there satisfying. It is. There it is, everybody. So it turns out that Mamoru is Tuxedo Mask. Who knew?
He surely didn't.
Well, that's actually a question of yours, isn't it? You wonder. You had posed that question. Does Tuxedo Mask know that he's
Does Mamoru know he's Tuxedo? Because he seems. Go ahead.
I think he does, because he says not again. He says not again, and so he knows something is happening. I think he knows he's Tuxedo Mask, but he doesn't know that Usagi is Sailor Moon. I don't think he knows that yet.
So he's just a slightly bothered guy who every once in a while has to turn into Tuxedo Mask unwillingly to go save this heroine who is constantly getting herself in silly trouble and ultimately wins everything.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, has anything ever caused him to transform into Tuxedo Mask other than Usagi transforming into Sailor Moon? Or is that the catalyst? Is that the trigger for his transformation? Because
as far as
the trigger for her transformation is her calling out Moon Prison Power Makeup, and then the brooch activates.
Yeah.
And she's transformed into Sailor Moon. And then as far as we can tell, then in turn that activates Tuxedo Mask being transformed from Mamoru into Tuxedo Mask. So you know, it does kind of pose the question, is there another circumstance in which Mamoru is transformed into Tuxedo Mask, or is it just the case that this has started happening ever since? Because now, I mean, we're on episode 19.
Yeah.
So this would have been effectively the 19th time that he would have transformed into Tuxedo Mask. Now, mind you, there's been a couple episodes where he didn't show up.
It's true.
So was he at school or something, and all of a sudden Sailor Moon transforms and he transforms, but he doesn't go to her aid? That's a
maybe.
Like, why? He's got some explaining to do.
Maybe
why
it's a proximity thing. Maybe he was like away on holiday, and like he was, you know, he was visiting like, you know, northern Japan, and so he was too far away, so it didn't activate. So he was just kind of doing his own thing. Can you imagine if episode one was the first time that he turned into Tuxedo Mask, and he shows up and he's so confident and he's just like, believe in yourself, but that's not actually what he says, but you know, that's the main trope. And he's just like there and like talks her through it and helps her beat the bad guy. But yet it's his first time. Like, how is he so good at this? That must have been so crazy. Just like be chilling and then all of a sudden, oh God, why am I wearing a top hat? Yeah.
So to be fair, I did know that Mamoru was Tuxedo Mask because I saw the movies with you.
That's fair.
I have kept that quiet. I almost spilled the beans a couple of times, but you back into the so that we didn't we didn't spoil it for our listeners. But and so in this episode, this is a very important episode. We the audience learn that Mamoru is Tuxedo Mask. Usagi doesn't know, and Sailor Moon doesn't know that Mamoru is Tuxedo Mask. But now we the audience know, and so that makes their little their little quarrels, you know, all that more pointed. So
true,
because it's a classic trope of you know, somebody who has an alter ego, and so Usagi's in love with Tuxedo Mask, but she's really annoyed with Mamoru, and vice versa. Mamoru finds Usagi to be quite annoying. He likes Sailor Moon, though. He has let it be known that he likes Sailor Moon, and that he likes the qualities that she has. Of course, it's funny that he doesn't realize that this annoying younger girl is actually Sailor, you know, that he sees every day or on a regular basis.
Well, I mean,
and who hits him with shoes and garbage and
exactly,
stuff like that.
That's what I'm saying. One of them saves Juban and the greater Tokyo area fairly frequently from, like, well, she's only really saved the Juban area at this point, from, you know, horrible things. The other throws trash at him a lot.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah. That's fair. All right. So we go from Tuxedo Mask being transforming. Mamoru transforms into Tuxedo Mask. And then we go back to the MS Mall. And Nephrite says, "So this one didn't turn out to be Sailor Moon, but the energy I gained from her was amazing." And then Sailor Moon's, "Get your hands up, Naru. How dare you?"
And then
just like in the opening, "How dare you dress up? How dare you dress up like Tuxedo Mask just to mess with the girl's feelings? I'll never, ever, ever forgive you for this."
And then
she gives him, "In the name of the moon, in the name of the moon, I'll punish you." Nephrite's like, How did you know I was in Tuxedo Mask?" And Sailor Moon says, A girl can always recognize her true love." And then Sailor Moon kicked, and she knocks off his top hat. And Nephrite says, "So you want to play rough? Here's your little friend." And he throws a limp Naru at Sailor Moon. And then Nephrite jumps in the air, rips up his tuxedo with one fluid motion, like it was a tearaway, like he had a Velcro tuxedo or something. And then he reveals he's magic. It's Nephrite in his general's uniform. He's not dressed as Mr. Sanjuin. He's dressed as Nephrite in his uniform. Yep. And Sailor Moon says, Wait a minute. You're Masato Sanjuin." And Nephrite says, "No, I am Nephrite, one of the Dark Kingdom's four kings of heaven. I came to destroy you once and for all, Sailor Moon, and that's what I intend to do." Nephrite,
this is the first time that Nephrite has introduced himself to the girl.
And he duplicates himself. Correct. And he waves his arm, and then all of a sudden he duplicates himself into 15 Nephrites. And Nephrite says, "Hear me now, Regulus, the brightest of the southern skies. Give me your strength." And it cuts to the starscape, and we see the 15 Nephrites float up, each one becoming an individual star in the Leo constellation. And Leo is, and we see a green lined outline of a lion, and he's got a white mane, and that lion charges towards Sailor Moon, and then all of a sudden a rose was flying in, hits the lion in the face. Of course, that's Tuxedo Mask, and he's standing in the elevator doorway with his foot pressed up against the jamb, and his hand resting casually on his knee. And he's looking pretty cash. And he's like,
"I have feelings
like, you really
about
thought
his introduction." He's the music, the rose, the pose. You wonder why I had a crush on him as a little girl. This is why. This is moments like this where he shows up, saves the day, he's cash, but then he encourages Sailor Moon to do her best. God, he's amazing.
He stopped the lion dead in its tracks. And then he confronts Nephrite, and he's like, You really thought I'd let you get away with using my name on all those phony love letters so you could draw out Sailor Moon? Not a chance.
Rude.
And Sailor Moon says, there's nothing better than the real deal. And then Tuxedo Mask jumps in right in front of the lion. And he says, I'll handle these guys. Now get going. And Sailor Moon says, right, there's nothing I won't do for the real you. And Sailor Moon runs away. And then Tuxedo Mask kind of crouches down and he says, bring it. And which is awesome because this is the first time Tuxedo Mask has fought. Prior to this, all he's ever done is interrupted something with a rose. You know what I mean? He's never fought before that I can think of.
Yeah.
He's always just interrupted the Yoma attack with a rose.
Now here he is and he wants to do.
So he says, bring it. And at that point, the lion pounces on Tuxedo Mask and Sailor Moon realizes, what am I doing leaving them alone? And so she turns around and she Moon Tiara action, knocks the lion back with a backflip. And the lion is unharmed and charges once again. Mm-hmm. And Sailor Moon says, no way, why isn't it working? Because this is the first time that an MTA has had no effect. I mean, it does actually knock the it knocks the lion back.
In a very similar comical to, way. What the rose...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like that getting hit in the face with a tiara wouldn't cause you to do a backflip. It's but in this case, it did.
You don't know lion logic. It might be.
Nah, that's entirely true. So Sailor Moon is like, no way. Why isn't it working? Which is kind of my question. Like, MTA not working. What's the deal?
Yeah.
And so the lion chases Tuxedo Moon, or Tuxedo Mask. Tuxedo Moon. That's funny.
I mean, they're both together in that scene, so.
Yeah. Chases them into the elevator. And so they get into the elevator, and then the lion just disappears. It's like running, and it disappears once they're... And the elevator doors close, and Tuxedo Mask is like, oh, when he realizes that the lion might have just been an illusion that they were afraid of. You know what I mean? And the lion was being used to get them to enter the elevator because Nephrite's like, that's right. It was a trap. I bet you're wondering what's going to happen when that elevator gets to the top floor. And Sailor Moon's like, oh, just tell us already. Just tell us already. It's your nightmare. What do you mean?
Yeah, I have a recurring nightmare of being in an elevator of a very tall building, needing to get to a meeting that's at the very top. And then every single time I get like a couple floors up, like I'll be going up just fine. And then all of a sudden the elevator will start, like the doors will open and then I'll start to feel the elevator fall. And I'm like, oh, I have to get out of this right now. And then I run and I jump and then the elevator falls as I step out of it. And then I turn around and then I immediately turn back around and walk back on the elevator because I got to get to the top floor.
Okay. You know, that's not possible, right? Elevators can't fall. That's how elevators were allowed to exist is because their braking system is foolproof. So the Otis company, have you ever gotten into an elevator that said Otis? O-T-I-S, Otis Elevators?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So Otis is the one who has a patent on the brake for an elevator. See, they had freight elevators were around for a long time, but they were never approved for human usage. So it wasn't until Otis invented the braking system and patented it that elevators were allowed to transport humans. And what it is a braking system that's spring activated. It's got these really heavy duty industrial springs, so that it's a fail safe. So there has to be some monumental somebody has to have broken the brakes on the elevator, and then also the cables have to break for an elevator car to fall, which I'm sure has happened. But it's incredibly rare. It's incredibly rare.
Well,
except
hopefully
in
my
movies,
subconscious
in movies and TV shows.
Yeah, and the Tower of Terror. hopefully my subconscious will listen to you, and I'll stop having that nightmare. Until then,
because the elevators weren't approved for human use because they did fall prior to this. You know, the rope or the cable that was being used to hoist the elevator car up would break, and there was nothing that could stop it, and it would just fall. And so they weren't allowed to use elevators to transport human beings until the braking system was invented. Nevertheless, not to diminish your nightmare, because all nightmares are valid.
You monster! How dare you diminish my nightmare?
Having suffered from horrific nightmares as a symptom of my PTSD, I say I'm the first to say all nightmares are valid. So, so Nephrite says, do you want to know what happens when the elevator reaches the top floor? And Sailor Moon says, just tell us already. And this is where Nephrite monologues. You know what monologuing is? Like, I think back to the movie The Incredibles, where Jason Lee plays the bad guy, and he describes what's monologuing, Maddie?
Monologuing is when, well, it's for villains specifically, it's when you take that moment to describe in great detail what your wonderful plan is, so that as you think you have the hero in a foolproof, can't escape from, definitely gonna die position, so might as well tell them all about how brilliant I am. It's almost always the downfall of the villain.
Right, the villain goes into great detail explaining exactly how the hero who has been captured and is now in some kind of is presumably bound somewhere so that they can't escape, and they're about to be chopped up or burnt or dipped in acid or some sort of horrible death is going to happen to them. It's not being delivered directly by the bad guy. The bad guy has set up some sort of end for them that's automated. You know what I mean? That's usually the case. You know, this is going to happen. And also monologuing is if they're like trying to take over the world, they describe what they're going to do. Like I've hacked into the computer system and I've made friends with the AI, and now I'm going to launch all the nuclear missiles at each other. You know, they describe their plan. Or if it's Underdog and it's Tad, Tad describes how he's going to steal all the water in the whole world. But so Nephrite is monologuing, and he tells them that when the elevator reaches the top floor, the cable's going to cut loose, and the elevator car is going to come crashing down, and they will be pulverized. And Sailor Moon says, "I'm too young to be pulverized."
And, that's a fair assessment. I'm also too young to be pulverized. So are you. So, no one's getting pulverized today. Everyone's too young.
So after Sailor Moon says, "I'm too young to be pulverized," just a moment or two passes, and she leans into Tuxedo Mask, and she's like, "Well, as long as we're alone, because remember, Usagi came to the mall to meet up with Tuxedo Mask and go on a date." Yeah. So she takes this moment as an opportunity to be engaging in them in with Tuxedo Mask romantically. And Tuxedo Mask is like, "We need to find a way out." and Sailor Moon says to herself, "What's wrong with me? I should be terrified right now, but all I can do is think about how I'm alone with Tuxedo Mask." And she closes her eyes, and her cheeks are all flushed and rosy, and she leans in for a kiss. And Tuxedo Mask is like, "Now what are you doing? We need to focus here."
He's like, "And then, danger, we're going to fall."
And then he says, "We've reached the top floor." Yeah, we've reached the top floor. So I just wanted to point out, you note what floor it is, that's the top floor of the building?
Dun, 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 dun. It's number 13.
Yes, it's the 13th floor. And I was going to say, most American buildings don't have a floor that's marked as 13. They have a 13th floor, of course, because it's the floor that comes after the 12th floor. But most American buildings, the floors are numbered. It goes 11, 12, 14. And so it's because it's in the Western culture, 13 is an unlucky number to the point mm-hmm. where they think that people don't want to reside, or they don't want to rent a hotel room. They don't want their office on the 13th floor. And this, the reason for that is that is there's multiple reasons. In a tarot card deck, the death card is number 13. And then Judas was the 13th guest at the Last Supper. And Loki was the 13th guest at a feast in Valhalla, where he tricked another guest into killing Baldur, the god. Loki's arrival is said to have upset the balance of power of the 12 gods that were already present and plunged the world into darkness. So you have a Norse reason, you have a Christian reason, and then you have the tarot card. And so because of that, the number 13 is considered unlucky. Now, sure. In Japan, it's the number 4 is mm-hmm. considered unlucky because it can be pronounced shi, which mm-hmm. is the Japanese word for death.
Yep.
However, I don't think they exclude the fourth floor from buildings. I think in Japan there's generally a fourth floor. The floor is marked number 4.
They use the other word for 4. I don't think I've ever seen the fourth floor be excluded, but they've definitely used the other word for 4 because there's shi, which is 4, and then there's 7, which is shichi. But 4 can also be pronounced as yon, and 7 can be pronounced as nana.
So
and,
they reach the third. Okay.
And I would just like to point out that I think it would be really cool if you made a office building where the 13th floor was just like an open deck, and then you continued on the floor. That's the only way you could skip the 13th floor.
So the floor actually wasn't built out. It was just.
Support beams, just like open area, just clearly for support. No one can habitate there.
Yeah. So I just think it's funny that in this day and age, in the modern world, the age of this, we're in the space age, we're in the information age, that they still are so superstitious that they'll skip labeling the 13th floor. You know what I mean? I just think that's crazy. Of course, we also have a huge, and in the United States, there's an enormous percentage of adults that believe in angels. So, I mean, I guess that says something.
I'm one of those person.
Of course you are. So they jump, and Tuxedo Mask grabs on to the ledge of the, like, where the door would open for the elevator.
Yeah.
And, oh, because they climb up. When they're in the elevator car, and Usagi and Sailor Moon's trying to get a kiss, Tuxedo Mask comes up with the plan they go up through the hatch in at the top of the elevator car, which there actually is always a hatch in an elevator car. That's another thing that's universal about elevators. There's always a way to get up through the top of the car, and they climb up, and they're riding on top of the car, and they jump from the top of the elevator car, and Tuxedo Mask grabs on to the edge of the floor of the 13th floor, and he's hanging on, and Usagi misses, of course, and
she does.
And Tuxedo Mask grabs her, and then the cable breaks, and the elevator car comes crashing down, and Nephrite's standing outside down at the bottom, and he says, "At last," and then Tuxedo Mask says to Sailor Moon, "Don't give up. I'll think of something to get us out of this. In the meantime, just think of something else to get your mind off of it." And he says, "Tell me why you always..." Oh, no. And then Sailor Moon says, "Okay. Tell me why you always come to my rescue." And Tuxedo Mask says, "I don't know why, but something inside me tells me to."
And then I'm contractually obligated to save you.
Tuxedo Mask puts one foot on the number 13 placard. It's like a little placard on the wall.
Yeah.
And he puts his foot on it, and he says, "I have a foothold, so climb up onto my back." And then Sailor Moon climbs up, and she's got her arms wrapped around his neck. And Sailor Moon says, "I know why you saved me. I think you're in love with me, but you just aren't ready to tell me yet." And he's like, "Kidding. But I was wondering, just who are you under that mask? I think you're Motoko." There I go, saying dumb stuff again.
She's just and got took, she's got that thing that math. Happens to middle school girls when you're around your crush, where it's just like, in my head, I'm so cool, but now I'm talking to you, and oh my god, do you like me, YN? Do you like me? God, you don't like me. Okay, this is cool.
Yeah, she's super nervous, and then so Tuxedo Mask gets all serious, and he's like, Sailor Moon, this may sound strange, but I had the feeling there was some kind of connection between us somewhere in the past. It's there in the corner of my mind, but I can't remember what it was. So that got my mind reeling. I was like, what is he referring to? It's not anything we've seen before, because we've never seen any them having some kind of connection in the past. So I wonder what that was. It had to have been before she became, I'm guessing it's something that happened before she became Sailor Moon, because we've been watching her life unfold since the day she met Luna. I think basically the first episode is also the day she meets Luna.
It's true.
And so what is this that he's referring to? And whatever it is, he can't quite remember. So we know that he doesn't know why he comes to her rescue, but there's something inside of him that tells him to do so. And that he has this feeling that there's a connection between them somewhere in the past. And at that moment, the placard breaks away from the elevator shaft wall, and Tuxedo Mask's hands are slipping.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sailor Moon says, got any less dangerous hobbies? And she's like, oh, why am I such an idiot? I can't think of any normal questions because I'm not a normal girl.
Usagi, that's why we love you.
I can't think of any normal questions because I'm not a normal girl. Right then, as Tuxedo Mask's hands are slipping away, the doors slide open, and Sailor Mars and Sailor Mercury reach down and pull up Tuxedo Mask and Sailor Moon. And Sailor Mercury says to Sailor Mars, says to Sailor Moon, you know better than to go solo. And Mars says, this is unbelievable. I'm stuck with a nasty cold while you get to sneak out and flirt with Tuxedo Mask.
So rude.
And,
how dare you?
And Sailor Mercury says, not now, Sailor Mars. And then
she's like,
Mars is like, you're taking her side? You were just as mad as me before.
Mercury.
Sailor Mercury says, we've got to get Naru to the hospital.
Yeah. She's still low on energy. We've got to take her in.
Yeah, poor Naru is so they got to the mall, and they somehow knew to go up to the 13th floor. You know what I mean? They knew to go to the top floor of the mall, which that's a big mall.
You know,
it's got 13 floors.
Here's my defense for that. Sailor Mercury has goggles.
Yes, she does.
You don't think, I mean, if her goggles can spot an illusion, you don't think her goggles can spot Sailor Moon's signature on the 13th floor?
That must be the case. We'll have
that
to go with that.
A super genius,
well, they dragged Naru's limp body. So here's the thing, is Sailor Moon had been holding Naru, and then the lion charged her, and she must have dropped Naru at that point and ran, and then Tuxedo Mask interrupted the lion with a rose, and Tuxedo Mask ended up running into the elevator with Sailor Moon. They left Naru's limp body on the first floor with Nephrite. How did Sailor Mercury and Sailor Mars collect Naru? Because last we saw, Nephrite was standing in front of the elevator doors, you know, being very pleased with himself, thinking that the elevator car had crashed, killing Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask. So why was there no confrontation between Nephrite and Sailor Mercury and Sailor Mars? You know what I mean? Everyone just abandoned
that's
poor Naru?
It's not relevant to the plot, clearly. Poor Naru.
If you're Naru, it is. Poor Naru. Everybody just left Naru's life. Like, she had all of her energy was taken. She's just a limp little shell of herself. And so they drag her up to the 13th floor with them. That wouldn't have cost them any time.
I mean, how hurry slow up to was the 13th
floor to save.
Okay, here's the deal.
How slow was the elevator?
Yeah. Okay, and then you like think about it. Okay, so think about it, right? So we've established that the mall is what, 20 minutes away? And
yeah, half an hour.
Half an hour away, and then we established that Mercury and Mars did not find out that Sailor Moon was there until she was at the mall. And shortly after she gets off the phone with him is when she starts the confrontation with Nevrite, which we presumably watch in real time.
Right.
How did they get there so fast?
Exactly. Exactly.
The math ain't mathin', as they say.
No, not it's not working out. Well, anyway, that beside the point, apparently they teleported. Maybe Luna had a one-time teleportation spell.
Damn it, Luna.
And so we've got to get Naru to the hospital, which I'm glad they're going to do. And that kind of shuts up Sailor Mars. And then, so, you know, and at that point, Tuxedo Mask is just like, I wish you girls would get along better. Farewell for now. And then he leaps off the roof of a 13-story building.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does leap off the roof, but he's not quite leapt off the roof.
Not that the girls know. The girls don't know that he's just sitting on a ledge beneath the roof. So anyway, so he leaps off the roof, and then Sailor Moon and Sailor Mars run towards the edge of the roof. Sailor Moon's like, why does he always disappear? And then the camera pans down and we see that he's one floor below sitting on a ledge.
He has the effect that, so, you know, the joke where the fatal flaw of all Batman villains is that they don't look up because Batman's always like swooping in from the top, right? So the fatal flaw of the Sailor Scouts is that they don't look down.
True story. True story. So then he's sitting on this lower ledge. And he says, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a girl fight. So,
I don't like it when they fight like that. I'm not here for that.
And I'm just like, girl, it's fine, dude. They're hardly fighting. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's
a girl fight. Sailor Mars getting her undies in a bunch just because Sailor Moon tried to sneak a date with him. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it might be awkward for him. Two girls fighting over him. He's like, I don't want this. Oh, God. Because he's a gentleman.
All right. So then we cut to the Dark Kingdom. And Zoisite addresses Queen Beryl. And he's like, Nephrite failed again. You need to sentence him to the eternal sleep. And Queen Beryl says, normally I would. And my sentence would be swift and complete. However, the energy that he stole... The energy he stole earns him a reprieve. And Zoisite is like, but my queen. And Beryl says, this discussion is over. You, Zoisite, should remember your place and your own mission to bring me the silver crystal. So Nephrite gets a pass on the eternal sleep because Naru's energy is so good. There must be some good energy because both Nephrite and Queen Beryl have remarked that that Naru has some really good energy. And maybe that's because her energy was generated by being in love. So that could have made the energy sweeter, I guess.
True love energy is very powerful. Right. When you have love energy, it's just like, I mean, look at Sailor Moon. She's the champion of love and justice, which I think ultimately is why Nephrite's plan failed, because he wanted to fight her with love, but he didn't fight her with justice. If he had done both, she might have won.
That's an interesting thought. I didn't think of that. So, anyway, I was pretty happy to see Zoisite being put in his place by Queen Beryl. I liked that. That was
10,000%.
That made me happy.
Zoisite's a cocky little boy.
I can't stand Zoisite.
No.
I hate Zoisite. all right, then we cut to Nephrite's mansion. He's back in his mansion, and he says, it all makes sense. Everybody, at some point in their life, becomes obsessed with something or someone. And Naru is truly in love with this Masato Sanjuin persona. Poor, pathetic fool. So
rude.
That makes me wonder, like, so what But we've never seen what happens to somebody who's had their energy stolen from them. You know what I mean? We've never, and they all just collapse. I mean, yeah, how did she regain her? How did
she rest?
I mean, her energy has been stolen. It's
addressed slightly in the Love Radio episode where they get the flowers that take their energy. The energy sucking ability makes them really tired, and so they basically just like fall asleep, and then they just have to be monitored and all that stuff because it's like it like brings them so just to sleep, so low energy that they're almost comatose, and then you know they just have to be re-energized either with a very long nap or other stuff.
Yeah, so it makes it seem like he has further plans for Naru. You know what I mean?
He does, yeah. And so I'm not sure how I feel about that.
We'll have to see what condition Naru's in the next episode if they mention that she's recuperating or what have you. So I wonder if she's still going to be infatuated with Mr. Sanjuine, because all she knew is she was meeting with him, and then she confirmed that the tuxedo mask was Mr. Sanjuine, and then he accused her of being Sailor Moon, and then she got zapped. So her consciousness, her stream of consciousness is just, what? I'm not Sailor Moon. And then she gets zapped. She gets her energy zapped. So she doesn't know anything that's happened. You know what I mean? Other than she was with her true love, and then she blacked out.
Yeah.
So it's going to be weird when she wakes up in the hospital room. You know, I don't know what they're going to tell her
I feel like she's used to it by now because she has had her energy sucked how many times? First episode,
right.
Second episode, third, like the first like six to seven episodes, she's always Naru getting knocked out. She's like one of the kids at like Sunnydale High School for Buffy fans out there, like that just shit keeps happening to them. And they're just like, this is my daily life now. I don't know why this is happening, but I'm a part of it. So
that's the end. That's the end of the episode. And then roll credits. Roll credits. So big episode. So Neprite hatches a plan to stop the Sailor Moon, where he realizes that she's in love with Tuxedo Mask, and he comes up with a plan to foil that. We learned that Mamoru is Tuxedo Mask, so that was a big reveal in this episode.
It's a lot of Tuxedo Mask lore in this episode.
Yeah. And then it ends with Naru has to go to the hospital. She's had her energy taken, and that energy is so good that Queen Beryl has given Neprite a pass. So he bought himself a little bit more time with that.
He did.
So,
which I mean, you know, depending on how tired you are, might be a good thing, might be a bad thing.
All right. So then it says up next, we see they're at the beach. And so I wanted to say that I've noticed in a lot of the animes that I've seen, if it has female characters, which most of them do. Most animes have female characters. But animes that have female characters, almost always they have a beach episode. They have a beach episode. And this one is season 1, episode 20, The Summer, The Beach, Youth, and Ghost.
It's one of my favorite episodes from the first season. So I'm very excited.
And in the teaser, we hear Luna saying to Sailor Moon, "Remember, you're here to train." I just love that. This is Luna. This is the perpetual buzzkill. Always coming down on Sailor Moon for.
She's got to try, man. That's her job. She's got to try. Well,
yeah, this was a good episode. This was, I mean, Sailor Moon got to spend some quality time with Tuxedo Mask. Tuxedo Mask fought, which we've never seen before. And then you pointed out to me, but before we started recording, you pointed out to me that this is the first Yoma that's undefeated.
Yes. Yeah, it's the first Yoma that's undefeated. It's the first non-humanoid Yoma. Hold on, let me scroll back in my notes. Here it is. Haha. It's also the first male Yoma. every other Yoma before have been female. So, and it's the first Yoma that's not sent Clark energy.
Right, right. So it's a really weird Yoma in the fact that it was created by Nephrite making multiple copies of himself.
Yeah.
And then those copies turned into representation of stars forming the constellation Leo. And then that those stars, the line was drawn between them to make the shape of the lion. And then the lion jumped out of the sky, and that lion appeared in the shopping mall. And all the lion did was chase them. So we don't even know if the lion had any form. It could have just been a hologram.
It
might not even be considered a Yoma. It might not even be considered a Yoma. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Because every time we've seen a Yoma, how did Jadeite's Yomas, how were they summoned? Did he call upon them?
He kind of, they were always disguised. So he like hid them as humans in the world. Like you had the Morga, the very first one, who was disguised as Naru's mom. You had the other girl who was running the love radio, who was a Yoma. And always nearby, like the Yoma are set up, but always nearby, mm-hmm. like Jadeite somewhere around.
Or like in the last episode with Jadeite, the Yoma looked like police officers.
Yeah, and they were made of mud.
They were made of dirt. And
yeah.
So and then with Nephrite, the Yomas are always he puts his crest on an object. And then the Yoma is embedded in his crest or in that object. The Yoma embodies that object. And then Nephrite calls upon them, usually with an incantation of sorts, and calls upon them to gather energy and to come forth. And so then the Yoma appears, materializes. And in this case, he didn't do that. You know what I mean? He didn't put his crest on an object. All he did was he duplicated himself and then went through this complicated process of those individual Nephrites representing stars in a constellation, that constellation being drawn out and then jumping out of the sky and materializing in the shopping mall. And so, I don't know. So maybe Yoma. Maybe it was like a...
Did you just call the procedure in which he summoned Leo the lion complicated? The man who has a hollowed out mansion in the middle of the woods that he put up a whole bunch of stained glass just so that he could use his divination magic to be able to figure out which stars he should call upon for this particular task he wants. Yeah, I think he's a little extra. I think that's just like normal level Nephrite. He's like,
it just seems worth it
unless you do it big.
That it's just a lot of steps to go through to summon the specter of a lion. You know what I mean?
It's true.
I mean, the lion never attacked them. The lion dealt no damage. All the lion did was scare them into running into the elevator, which was a trap. So, the thing of it is that Nephrite himself could have pushed Tuxedo Mask and Sailor Moon back into the elevator shaft or back into the waiting elevator car by just simply attacking them.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have looked as cool.
Right, and it's also, they were probably more afraid of the lion than they were of Nephrite.
True.
So I guess good on you, mate, for summoning the lion.
Tuxedo Mask was prepared to throw down with Nephrite until the lion came out. So
He said, bring it. He said, bring it.
That's
you know
serious.
What I mean?
You don't say bring it if you're not serious.
That's big. No. That was a good episode. Love letter from Tuxedo Mask.
And
coming up next is the beach episode. All right. Yes.
Woo!
Talk about social media.
Social media. So first of all, you can always tweet at us, message us, whatever, by using the hashtag Mooneycast. Good gosh, I cannot talk today. Probably because we talked for so long. about cool Sailor Moon things. Anyways, you can use hashtag MooneyCast so that we can see your posts. We are on Twitter at MooneyCast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/AcrossTheMooniverse. And of course, our main website, which is acrossthemooniverse.castos.com. And yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys. And even if it's just a like on a silly Sailor Moon meme we share on the Facebook page, you know, whatever. We just want to hear from you. We like you guys. We'd love to interact with you more. We want to share our love for Sailor Moon with everybody. So yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Happy Moon Day, everybody. I'm out of here.
Happy Moon Day. Bye.